that one.
Oh, I don't think so. But as I say, I went to an art school for 9 years, and I had pals who said, oh, you know, wasting your time going to an art school. When I met my wife, I told her what I was doing, there were nights when I said, I don't think I'll go to an art school, and she says, well, if you don't go, she said, I'm going out, I won't be in if you come for me. So that encouraged me more than ever.
He was really keen on your improvement.
She was really.
She your father was as well?
Father was, yes, but because then the trouble, the irony of it is, he died, he didn't see the result of it.
No.
You see,
He died in 32.
Yeah. And then I was, as I said, this firm where I served my time, they stopped me the week after I'd come out of my time. And because they thought they could just, the young men were hanging up on hooks at that time, you see. Well, I got in touch with the last firm that I was at. I was there 13 years at the finish, this other firm. And he appreciated my qualifications. But business was so bad at that time.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I can give you a job, but it won't be for at least another fortnight. When I got home, there was a card from my old firm saying, will I come and see them? Well, I knew what it was, so I went straight back to the new boss and I told him, and he said, never mind them, come and start on Monday. So the other firm wouldn't speak to me for years afterwards, but I stuck it with this firm until the war.
Yeah.
And then I'd either to be called up or get on to work of national importance.
In the meantime, my dear, you were a...
The general strike, did he? Who was he?
26.
Oh,
26.
Can you remember? Yes.
I can remember
you were on strike.
I was on strike, but you were working.
I think my dad must have been on strike.
He was an apprentice, and the apprentices didn't come out on strike.
No, I really meant his father.
He didn't take any...
That's a big event.
He wouldn't... No, at that time... He would have been out on strike along with everybody else, but he didn't take any practice. His politics calmed down a lot.
Did they? Yes.
After the
and
war.
And you don't know why that is. Probably his health, partly.
Oh, well, I think it was mainly his health. In fact, the war service didn't do him any good, but he was in a lot more. He was so keen to get out that nothing was said about it. And he gradually deteriorated in health, didn't he?
Yes,
when we went to Marigold Cottage, and I say we were trying to persuade him to take it over. Well, I don't think his health was so good then. And the suffragette, the activities of suffragette ceased at the end of the war.
Oh, yes, they did, that's right.
So, I mean, it was only his work before the war. This business that's in the book about him going with Antidis to set fire, something that I didn't know. It was Mother that told us. I didn't know anything about it.
You said in your letter to me something about you were kept out of it. The children
absolutely
were kept out of it.
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
Well, that Dad and Mother, whatever went on politically, they didn't involve us in it. We were left to be as happy and as comfortable as we possibly could, you see. The only things that I know of were those that I've told you were, it was just luck, I think, that I was there. Mother took me to these women's meetings because I suppose I was one kid less. I don't know. Dad must have looked after the others.
Tell me about these meetings. What happened?
Well, you know, I don't know. They just talked, and what it was, I've no idea. I was so young, and I tell you, they must have talked over their own troubles, because I can only remember this little woman, this Mrs. Hall, who had husband trouble. And I thought how cruel men could be and all the rest of it. But what the women were talking about...
Your mother told you about this, did she? Then told you about this woman being badly treated?
Well, the women, I'd heard them... I was sitting in the room with them, and the only thing that was of interest to me was when they talked about this woman and her husband.
I see.
You see. That's the only thing that stuck in my mind.
Yes.
And as I said, when I saw Mother walk... When I went with Mother down the road... And women turned round and called and sniggered at the suffragette, you see. But I mean, you've got to remember that I was only 8 when the war broke out.
Of course.
And all this happened
before
then.
Yeah.
And as I say, we were brought up to be as happy and as comfortable as we possibly could.
What about this cycling that your father went
Well, he was a member of the local Clarion Cycle Club. And they went off... there is another thing that shows one side of his nature, which might be interesting. Is it still on?
Yeah.
Well, he had some pals who were joiners, two of them, who were fond of a drink. Now, Dad wasn't teetotal, but I don't think he was ever drunk in his life. He was moderate in everything. He liked to smoke as well.
Not everything.
But, well, I mean, as regards smoking, drinking, and that sort of thing, you see. And these two chaps, I think he set out to reform them, and he got them to get bikes, and he set off to go from here to Southport. Now, Southport, for me, it's a flat road. It's 20 miles all the way along, and it was lovely for cycling, except, well, I don't know, sometimes it was a bit dull because it was so flat.
Too flat.
Anyway, they got there all right, and they parked the bike somewhere, and they went off, and I think they ended up in a pub, and these other two chaps, well, one of them especially, was very much worse for drink when he came out, and I don't know whether they'd been pissed or whether he'd come without them, but he'd no lamps on his bike when it time to get off. Well, in those days, of course, they weren't so particular. But anyway, they set off for home, and I think Dad got a bit worried about them not being lit up, you see. And I know he did tell us this. They called in the butcher's shop. In those days, shops remained open long. And they got some grease paper, and they bought some candles, and he made it into a kind of a shield with this chap. And he said, "Now, look, carry that, you'll be all right." And there was no wind, it won't blow it out. Well, they went all right for so long, and he wobbled a few times and dropped it in the road. And this candle and the paper was burning, Dad said, for miles back, they could see the road. So he gave that up as a bad job. I mean, he couldn't do anything about it then.
But he used to go off, did he, while you were a child?
While I was a child, yes, he used to go off cycling. I can remember Dad in his knee breeches and
after I met you, we cycled to the Clarion Club because he was still interested
that's
in
right.
it, wasn't
it? Yes,
it was just weekends, was it? Or
weekend, oh yes, it was holidays and weekend time, that's all. They went for, and they did rambling as well. I mean, he was just, I think Mother was out of this to some extent, mainly because of the kids, of course.
Yes.
And another thing, she didn't seem to bother. I can remember there were occasions when he took us, all the family, to the other outings. He had a Clarion Clubhouse at Ribchester, and we went there. They had sports, and I can remember him taking us as kids and Mother, and how we got there, I don't know. Except that, he encouraged us to go to the Socialist Sunday School in Preston. Now, I don't think he was ever a believer, but they had this Sunday school, and I can remember it and quite distinctly. They didn't teach us about God and Jesus, but it was about the love of man, and we used to sing
simple
songs
that
were, really to forward the love of man, not really religion, but the people got it into their heads that these socialists were a lot of atheists, and that if ever you had socialism, I've heard this said, if ever you had a socialist state, you couldn't call your wife your own. The fellow next door would come on knock on the door, and he'd have a right to take her away. I think where this arose was that the socialist outlook was such utopian that they would not, that we wouldn't need rules and laws to govern us, you see.
Yeah, well,
and
yes.
I suppose they thought, well, the marriage.
But all the other children would go to Sunday school as well. So you just went to a different Sunday school.
Now, wait a minute.
They all
Mary,
one.
I think the three of us went for a short time to this Sunday school.
You mean the other children of
other families?
Yes.
They'd all go to the Reformist school.
The Church of England.
That's right, yes.
And you went to
We went to the Socialist Sunday school. It was, and I suppose everybody thought we were a lot of heathens, really.
What did you do there?
Well, they used to, we used to do modelling. We were very young children, and I think it must have been the older children, what I can remember, who more or less taught us. They'd be what we call the teachers.
Yeah.
And they used to tell us stories. From what I can remember of it faintly, it was mainly of good people to show a moral, you know, not without bringing God or Christ into it at all.
Mm.
And the songs that we sang, I've heard some of them since. I can't remember what it was.
Mm. But they're later.
No, anyway,
songs.
They were really songs that would uplift. And they were all for the good, you see. Now, I only went there for a short time, and I don't think Dad ever went. I don't think he went. He wasn't a superintendent or anything like that.
What about religion, really? I mean, were both your parents?
I can tell you, no. Mother always went to church whenever she had the opportunity, but Dad didn't until later on. But I can remember when the youngest child, not Ronnie, no, it was Alf, when Alf was born, we had some neighbours who were big churchgoers. In fact, they were considered a cut above us. They worked in the cotton mill, but he was what they call a tackler, he's an overlooker. And they had two boys, and they were people who had a little bit of money compared with our family.
We were living in poverty.
We were living in poverty compared with them. And
yeah,
when this baby was born, it was born at home, this woman from up the road, Mrs. Hitchin, came, and she said, "How are you, Mrs. Eden?" And mother said, and she wasn't so good anyway, but she said, "Oh, I'm fine, I'm going to get up and wash." And the woman says, "Wash indeed? You ought to go to church and thank God that you've got over this." And father was there, and he didn't half turn. I don't know what he said exactly, but he said, "If I have anything in the matter, my wife will not go to church anymore." And he ordered her out of the house. I mean, it seems so, you know, ridiculous to say that poor little mother, in such a low state, the thing she should do was go to church and thank God.
Yes.
But anyway, Dad wasn't interested at all in religion until he calmed down terrifically towards the end. Now, this was just before I met my wife, 1926. He got interested in a parson who... he was a parson, the vicar of the local Unitarian church.
Oh, yes.
It's also, it's fizzled out now. In fact, they're going to keep this church up as an ancient monument, apparently.
Mm.
And they had a fellowship, and he joined this fellowship, and the vicar, he was a socialist, actually, but the main of the congregation were local businessmen, and they soon told this vicar where his bread and butter was, you see, and he'd to calm down. But apparently Dad was influenced a lot by... what went on at this meeting, and he persuaded me to go. Well, I didn't join the fellowship, but I went to the Sunday school, and I met quite a number of pals there, and we had a real good time there. There wasn't a lot of God and Christ there. In fact, I think really what the Unitarian asks you to do is to believe in God. If you accept that there's a God, you don't need to accept that Christ is God.
No.
They preach, they had these, and I remember a cantata there, "I live at the Calvary." Mm-hmm. And that influenced me, not in a religious way,
mm-hmm.
but to show how this man Christ had suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might have had the same effect on Dad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can honestly believe that, as I think my dad did, that Christ existed, but not as mm-hmm. God, you see.
But your mother, you say, was Christian. Was she, what sort of Christian was she?
She was just a church, what we call a church goer, that's all. Mm-hmm. She went to church whenever she got the opportunity. Whitsuntide here, they used to have processions all the town, the churches walked around the town, well, she always went with them.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't take an active part. They knew her, all the congregation knew Mrs. Eaton, and she just went to church, and that was all. I mean, there was no... There wasn't a lot of religion in the home. I mean, we all had to say a little prayer at night.
Mm.
God bless mother and dad and all the rest of it. And I remember, I must have been very, very young. I'd been out playing about somewhere, and I'd got hold of some onion tops, I think, and I'd been chewing at these things. And when I went home at night, mother got it out of me, where'd you got these from? And I'd told her. So as an addition to my prayer at night, I had to say, "And please God, teach me not to pick dirty rubbish up." I can remember that distinctly. It's always stuck in my mind. So, I mean, there was that sort of religion, but that was all. And we went to Sunday school. I think got the impression it was to get the kids out of the way.
Yeah, well, I can believe that.
It wasn't that they were keen on what we'd get. But I did go to Sunday school, and I joined the Church Lads Brigade. And during the war, this is a funny thing, this shows where Mother comes into it again. This Church Lads Brigade, we just wore little pillbox hats and a belt and a white haversack. But when the war started, everybody was patriotic. We had to be dressed in khaki. We had tunics and neb caps, knee breeches and putties, and we looked like a lot of little old men. And we were marched up and down with some old carbines that they had in the Boer War. And everybody thought it was wonderful, you know. Anyway, they decided to take us to camp. This was fairly early on in the war. Dad was away anyway. And we had this camp down by the river. Now, the lack of lighting must not have been as big a restriction at the beginning of the war as it was later on, because we had campfires. And we had to parade around the camp, kids, somebody there all night. I mean, it were a bit ridiculous, but still we did it. Anyway, the camp got into trouble. The cook packed up. Nobody would cook or cater or anything like that. And we were on the point of coming home. Well, the fellow in charge of the Church Lads Brigade, of the brigade himself, he was a teacher at the school, and it was a church school. And of course, he was a church goer. And I suppose this was how Mother came into it. She'd come down to the camp to look at us, and this Mr. Robinson had told her that they were packing up, they're going to come home, there's nobody to cook. And at that time, my dad's sister one of my dad's sisters, my Aunt Gertie, was staying with her. And she says, well, if you can find us somewhere to sleep, there were the other kids at home, there must have been three of them.
Yes, three of
them. There was Mary, Len and Alf. He wasn't very old then. And I was the only one in the brigade. And she said, we'll come down and we'll cook for you. Well, they ended up by doing this. And I can't remember all the kids being there, but they must have been. But I think Mother and me, Aunt, had a down good time. I mean, I know in the middle of the night, the officer's tent was let down. I don't know what was going on, but I think they really enjoyed themselves. Mother was always a bit of a sport that way.
Well, she, I was going to say, because quite a lot of the suffragettes have got a great sense of fun.
Yes, she was fond, and she was fond of company. And if we went to a sports do anywhere, she would always take part. She was always in a race. She was always pretty agile. Mm. And anyway, that was...
What happened to her in the end? I mean, she presumably was a widow for a long time after your father died. Mm. Did she stay Labour as well all the way through?
Yes, but she never took any active part. We're all Labour, all the family. Yeah. I'm not sure about the youngest one, because his wife's a Tory, and I have a feeling that she cancels his vote at least. But the rest of us are. I mean, Brother Len, I'm glad he's not here, really, because if he...
You wouldn't have got a word in anyway,
and he's a terrific romancer. I mean, he comes to see, he lives at Poulton, and he's just retired. And he does come... He's all sorts, really, but he studied... it was mainly politics and social conditions and things like that. Mm. And he studied a little bit of astronomy, and he was a bit of an inventor in his way. You've seen them now, these football games that they have where they poke sticks. Well, he'd made one of those when I was a kid.
And his pals
used to come in and play, and he used to get that excited, they think they broke the thing up. And someone said, I'll bet you ought to patent this, or Dr. Oxidal. But you see...
But he didn't read books much then? He didn't sort of have books at home or go to a WAA class?
No, he wouldn't, like no. We took arms with Encyclopedia, I can remember, and things like that. But I wouldn't say that he got a lot of his knowledge from books.
No.
It was from everyday life that he got his work from, you see. Yeah. Oh no, this business of study... he encouraged me to study, but what he would have done if I'd said no, I wouldn't, I don't know, because the other lads didn't. Mind you, Dad was failing in health then, but I went to night school and I studied right through, and I got all these, I did 9 years, I thought nothing was coming of it until the end of the war, and then they started advertising, and he was a little stocky fella from what I can remember, but what he did, I don't know. I'd heard once that he got a crockery warehouse, and he sold it up and cleared off with another woman until the money was spent. Now, whether it was while Grandma was alive or not, I don't know. I rather fancy it must have been, because I think they had a struggle. But when Grandad died, he had married again. He married a woman, Mrs. Emmett. The family refused to call her mother or mother or stepmother, anything. It was always Mrs. Emmett. And I don't think they had much when he died. They lived in I thought it was a nice house in Bradford. Mm. But what he really did for a living, I don't know. I can remember when I used to go there. I went there when Mary was born, and I went there when Len was born. They sent me out the way, you see. And I can remember sitting round the table one lunchtime, and it was a real Yorkshire style. They always had Yorkshire pudding and all the rest of it, you know, plenty of beef. They always had a good
table.
Yes, I'm
going to make a drink.
And somebody had said, what are you going to be, Herbert? They always called me Herbert in those days, when you grow up. And I said, I don't know, I'm going to work down a coal line. Well, that was mining. Well, there was a lot of mining in that area. And I believe my granddad played Hamlet with my dad. He thought they were getting it into my head that was the work. But that was all I can remember, that granddad interfered at all.
But did your father get on with his father, do you think? Or was he against his father?
No, I don't think so. Mm. No.
They think they got on well, didn't they?
I think they did, yes. My granddad told my mother when she was courting him, he said, you want to look out, lass? He says, there's never been a chair in this house big enough to hold his arse. So I suppose he meant then that he must have been a bit of a, you know, a lad for roaming off in those days.
But his mother died quite...
Oh, his mother died. His mother died, yes, it was... I can't remember. I don't know when it was, but it was before...
She had a lot of children, and they were...
It was before I was born, anyway.
Some died of TB, and she died of TB.
Oh, TB was going then, yes, I know.
There was a lot of it at that time.
Aunt Maud would be... She'd be a bit younger than Dad. And somewhere I can't tell you whether she was a year older or a year younger, something like that, but I know she had a nasty cough, and she used to laugh and joke about it, and he used to pat her on the back. But poor Maud, she got TB and she went out.
What about your parents when you were very young, before the war, before your father went off to the war? Did they live in Labour circles, and did they go at weekends to Labour gatherings, and did they live in the Labour
movement? No, I wouldn't say that. No, Dad may have done. But if he did, he went on his own, you see. I don't recall that he did take any active part, apart from what I've told you about the Socialist Party, the British Socialist Party. They had concerts and things like that, and I can remember that we always had tickets in the house for some social event or some concert and things like that. And I rather fancy that Dad did attend practically all the political meetings that were going on. I know this one before this war, I was an apprentice. I just started an apprentice, and there was an election in Preston, and we had the Labour candidate's picture in the front window. It was a house similar to this, but just a smaller, with an ordinary window here, with a small garden in front. Our candidate had got in, and we just went to town to see the results, and we're coming back full of, you know, joyous spring. Somebody had thrown a stone through the window, through the placard and the lot.
This was before the First War?
This was, this was after, this was, when would that be, 19, I should be 16 at the time, so that would be 1922, after this war, you see.
Yes.
But I don't think, he might have done a bit of canvassing, but as I say, He never tried to drive us into it. I mean, he never really, can't ever remember him talking politics to us. He advised me to read that Ragged Trousered Philanthropist when I was quite young.
What and about Blatchford and the Clarion and that sort of thing? Do you read Blatchford?
Oh, Blatchford, yes, I've heard him talk about Blatchford, because didn't Blatchford write under the nom de plume of Nunquam or something like that? And I know I felt quite proud, because I could ask kids, who's Nunquam? No, but I knew it, Rob. I didn't realise at the time who this Robert Blatchford was. I don't know. It's a lot of it is hearsay, but I knew that he'd been... he was always, if there was anybody downtrodden at all, if he thought anybody, what it was being ill-treated, and he could do anything about it, he would do. Now, he lost quite a number of jobs, but as I say, he didn't tell us why, but I've seen the time that, I said you should, this might be a venture, I've seen the time when Dad's come home, you know how joiners carried the tools in a what they call a bass over his shoulder, and he's walked in, I must say, any time during the week, not necessarily on a Friday night, and I've seen Mother crying on his shoulder, because he's lost a job. But you see, us kids were pushed out. We didn't realise the importance of it. And even when he was out of work, he didn't stay about the house. He must have gone out looking for work or doing something. But I don't think that, considering the times, he was out of work for a long, long time. We had during the epidemic of scarlet fever, I was in hospital. The isolation hospital here for about 7 weeks, and my brother had it, they took him, and then Dad had it. I know Dad was at home. They said they weren't having any more unions, he'd had enough, and he was at home, and I know towards the end he was like a bear with a sore head. The doctor wouldn't let him get up and the rest of it, but that's all. And I can remember the doctor coming in. It shows how Dad's politics came into everything. And the doctor was a little chap, and he was a rank Tory, really. And they used to sit in, Dad led in bed there, he's supposed to be ill. And they were arguing politics 14 to the dozen. So, I mean, you see, politics did come into his life, no matter where he was. But it was after the war, he calmed down quite a lot.
What did he look like, actually? Was he an impressive-looking man?
No, he wasn't as tall as I am, I don't think. I don't know, you know, we showed her photographs. You see, when Mother died, I was tied up in Wolverhampton, and we came to a funeral, but my brother's managed all the affairs.
Yes, and we just haven't got all...
Fairly thick set, but not a belligerent sort of a chap.
No.
Though he was belligerent, another thing that might show his attitude, where we lived up on the main road there, I can remember as a kid playing on the footpath in front of there was, as it might be, this footpath here, and we're playing with marbles. And there was, we often used to get gentlemen of the road, the tramps, of quite a lot in those, passed to and fro, going from Preston to Blackburn. And we were playing with these marbles, and all at once, one of these chaps, he looked a bit of a scruff, big fella, I thought he was, bent down and grabbed them and walked up. So I went inside and called my dad, who used to be at home then. And Dad went up to this chap, and I remember he put his hand on his shoulder, and I don't know what he said to him, but anyway, he said, "I'm not having this." And he marched him down the road to where a policeman's house. Oh, it must have been 200 yards away. And I was with them, and the fellow was saying, I thought they were sweets. I threw them away when I found out they weren't sweet. And he went to this policeman's house, still holding the fellow by the shoulder, and he knocked on the door, but the policeman was out. So he gave him a shaking and said, "Don't do it again." So, I mean...
He's quite a tough
guy. He was quite, yes, and I don't ever remember him throwing his weight about, only... That when Len, my brother Len, he went to plumbing as an apprentice, first of all, and the firm had gone down to the docks where Dad worked to do some work there. Mm. And you know what men are, I don't, perhaps you don't, but if they can egg kids on to fight, they will do.
Yeah.
And apparently somebody, these chaps had egged my brother, another lad, on and tried to get them scrapped, and they were stood around in a group. And Father came up when he saw what was going, he said, "Oh, if it's a fight you want," he said, "I'll take any of you." And he took his jacket off. And of course, they all dispersed then. But he was always, he wasn't frightened. Now, I wouldn't say that he would deliberately go be belligerent, but he was a bit...
Speaking? Did he ever speak, I mean, in public?
Oh, yes, oh, he could speak. Ah, yes, I can tell you something else too that might be interesting. In fact, it reflects what happens now over this business of... where they try, the Tories are trying to get the Tory trade unionists to get a bit of weight in trade unionism. Yeah. Dad was always an official in the Carpenters Union, and in those days the union was fairly strong. At the beginning of this last war, I should think that we were 100%. And anyway, this was while I was an apprentice. This would be round about
early 20s,
early 1920s, and Dad was president. He took the chair, you see, at these meetings, and of course a lot of the chaps only came because they had to pay the dues, you know, but we did get quite a good turn up. And Dad was always keen, he'd start a discussion, and of course invariably it got onto politics. Well, I can remember quite a number of, in fact the majority of the meeting objected to him bringing in politics. So Dad just got the rule book out, and it was plain enough in the rule book that he was to encourage them to discuss politics and the political situation. Anyway, I can remember him saying, "Well, if you're not satisfied, right, I'll resign, you can elect somebody else. Now, Albert, sit down, and then let him get on with his meeting."
What about Aunt Edith? Was she the person who ran these gatherings your mother went to?
Yes, I think she was. Though she would, or she wouldn't, she never, I
Mrs.
never saw her in these, where they had these little homes. I think they were the different suffragettes in the town, they got together. Now, our dad met Aunt Edith, I don't know at all, but I know that he did a few things for her when their son, the adopted son that they had. I can remember going down there with my dad, and he was measuring a corner of a room, and he made him a joiner's bench and fit him up with things like that.
Did he?
But I sometimes took me there and left me with Arthur. He had a big playroom upstairs. Arthur, I know, I used to envy him, railway tracks, you know, miles of it seemed to be. And what happened to Dad in the meantime, where they went, I don't know, whether he was just sitting with Mrs. Rigby talking, but of course, this would be before the war. Whether they were planning these things then, I don't know. But I would go down in the evening and play with Arthur. And then Dad would say, come on, it's time to go home now. But what went on, as I say, you see, we weren't allowed to listen to what was going on or take part.
What was she, I mean, you kept in touch with her, presumably the family kept in touch with her for a long time.
I met Mrs. Rigby. Mm,
yes.
What, do you think that book's right? I mean, does it get her well? Or does it
Yes, it portrays her, to look at her. To look at her, you'd think she's rather masculine.
Mm.
And she had a voice, a deepish voice, a masculine voice.
Mm.
And but she was the sort of woman that you would never dream of making a pass, you know, making the pass at her or anything like that.
Did
you
try?
That's right. And why they didn't have children, I don't know. But thinking about Mrs. Rigby, I should think that it was perhaps something that she couldn't.
Mm.
And who this lad was that she adopted, I don't know. I don't know a great deal about him, only I remember he went to a grammar school and I thought he was a cut above me by all means, and I felt that rather humble. We went down to Mario Cottage once before we went to live there, and we'd gone up the road, Arthur and I had gone up the road to fetch some sweets or something, and like kids do, as we walked back, I mean, it was just a country lane, we're picking stones up and throwing them, you see, and well, I don't see why not. Anyway, it was a grammar school boy, and I thought that these boys were so good and all the rest of it. Anyway, all at once he said, I was just going to pick that. I thought it was a stone, it was a bit of dog shit. But, you know, I was disgusted, really.
What's him saying that?
I must have still been at school then.